one last part of the sugya that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, as to who's considered to be an individual one is obligated to be misapple for. So we spoke about in terms of relatives, we spoke about in terms of certain people who will go off the derech, we spoke about the tragic situations of the suicides last week. There's one last part of the sugya, and that's concerning a young baby. Once a lot of baby passes away, so at what stage do we say that the baby still has to be, one has to be misapple for this baby? At one point do we say that the avelus would not be necessary? So this particular sugya actually has a lot of lumdas to it, a lot of the klolim that relate to it. General questions relating to sveikas and avelos play out in the sugya. So we can analyze the sugya really on two different fronts. We'll talk about it in the sense of the nitty gritty in terms of what the particular shaila is, and then use this kind of little bit of a springboard, as the Rishonim do, to talk about some important principles that govern really all of Hilchas Avelos. So the Gemara really starts not so much in the sugya of Avelos, it really starts actually in the sugya of Yevamos. The sugya, so remember back in the Avyomi, back in the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos. The halacha is that if a person passes away, a person without children, so then either Yibum or Chalitza has to take place. A person passes away with children, then obviously neither Yibum nor Chalitza takes place. What if, I'm going to say, Ruvein dies, and he left behind a very, very young child, and that child subsequently dies? So if Ruvein left behind a viable child, even though the child dies eventually, that doesn't matter. The halachas of Yibum and Chalitza are all determined by what we call the Shas Zika, the Shas Tefilah Yibum, the moment in time when the husband dies. So then the halacha determines, does he have children, does he not have children? If he has children who are alive at that time, then there's no Yibum Chalitza. If he doesn't have children alive at the time, then there would be Yibum Chalitza. So what's the din if he technically there was a child that was quote-unquote alive, there was a baby that was alive, it seems to be alive, but that baby dies right away. That baby dies within 30 days of its birth. So the Gemara quotes about Chalik Tanoim, can we view this child, this baby, as being a viable child in the first place? So some of the Tanoim said yes. Some of the Tanoim said if right now he's alive, right now it's heart's beating, it's breathing, right now it's alive, how it dies a little bit later, that's the same as somebody who's 20 years old dying later. If the baby was alive, it was alive, and therefore the Zika, there would be no requirement of Zika, there would be no requirement of Yibum HaChalitza. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, that as long as the baby hasn't lived for 30 days, so we have to be concerned that unless this baby is a nafel, maybe this baby is considered to be a not viable child, even though it looks to us that it's alive, but halachically we have to be concerned that this baby was never really meant to be in the first place. The baby never really was considered to be halachically alive. It was considered to be a nafel, so it's a suffix nafel. If the baby survives 30 days, then we could say with adults, then we could say with certain, it was a child, it was born, it was alive, and then Nebuchad died. But if it didn't survive for 30 days, so then we have to be concerned that it's a chashash of a nefil. If it was a nefil, so it's basically like a miscarriage, it's not considered to be halachically alive, and therefore the woman would still require Yibum HaChalitza. So that was Machlokes HaTanoim between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Where did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel get this magic number 30 days from? So the Gemara seems to connect it to the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara seems to say that since there's a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen after 30 days, so that number 30 seems to indicate to us that at the point of 30 days, we can safely assume that the child will survive. Before 30 days, we have to be concerned lest the baby is not really alive.
That's the woman would require a what?
Chalitza. Oh, chalitza. Chalitza. So that equation that the Gemara makes, and that comparison that the Gemara makes between Pidyon HaBen and Chalitza is very questionable to be shown him just how serious Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant that equation. That's really why he waited 30 days for Pidyon HaBen. That's the whole reason why, to make sure that the baby is not an aphel. That's a big question, how to understand that from the Pidyon HaBen angle. But L'maisa of the Chalitza angle, that's the din. That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. How do we pass Ken L'Halacha this Machlokes? The Gemara says that we try to follow the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Gemara has a Machlokes, just how far we follow that view, but we try to assume the Halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where Choshesh Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, therefore Hilchas Chalitza, that's how the halacha plays out. That if a baby dies within 30 days, that baby doesn't count in terms of exempting the mother from Yibum Chalitza. That's the background of the sugya. Then the Gemara makes a jump, and the Gemara says that just as in Hilchas Chalitza, we assume the baby is not alive if it dies within 30 days, so to in Hilchas Avelos, if a baby Rechman Atzlan dies, born and then dies right away within 30 days, so we have to assume that it was at least a suffix, whether it was an afel, and therefore there wouldn't be any avelos for this child. So the Gemara makes that comparison. The Gemara makes that jump. That's what it says in Mishnah. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. For 30 days, there would not be any avelos. The problem with this jump that the Gemara makes, already the Mishnah point out, is that it's really a tremendous jump. Taisus points out that this chashash, that maybe this child is a nefel. Tosfos points out this is really somewhat of a far-fetched chashash. Most babies are not nefalim. Most babies are considered to be, it was a full-term pregnancy, it was a normal baby. We assume probably this baby was really halachically alive. It's just something happened to it. It died, whatever, got sick, whatever it was. But to assume that this baby was, from day one, was not considered to be a viable a birth, so Tosfos says that's really a little bit of a chashash, a little bit of a far-fetched chashash. Tosfos claims that it's only a chashash b'di rabbanan. If in HaTorah, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would concede that this woman wouldn't require chalitza. So the whole thing is a chumrah b'di rabbanan, to make believe that this child is not yet not really a viable child. That's the source of the din hilchos chalitza. So then Tosfos turns around and says, if that's the case, then it's not really, it's not a real chashash, it's not a real concern. It's a chumrah concern. How can we turn around and use that concern to patra a person from a veilus? A person comes to the shayla and says, Nebuch, they lost the baby after 2 weeks of birth. So we say, don't worry, you don't have to sit on the shiv, you don't have to observe a veilus for this baby, because maybe the baby was a nefil. So Taisa says, but the odds are it wasn't a nefil. The odds are it probably was a viable birth. So how come we're so lenient to the veilus? We're machmir uchas chalitza, to insist on a chalitza, but how can you turn around with that reasoning and be lenient to the chazavelus? So Tosfos says, nah, it's not a kasha, because in avelus everything is lekula. Always, halakha is make a mavel, everything is suffic avelus, all of them avelus always go well lekula, no matter what. So how do you understand this idea that we're going to turn around the chazavelus and take a chashash, which may even be a far-fetched chashash, and use it lekula to be making a luchas avelus? How do we make any sense of that? So we've already spoke about this many times, as Machlokes and Rishonim, whether the dinim of avelus is a dinim in HaTorah or is a dinim in the Rabbanan. So we had the big Machlokes a couple of weeks ago we spoke about, when the Gemara learns out that whoever is considered to be a relative for the purposes of Tumas Kohanim, just as a Kohen is permitted to go to a funeral for father, mother, etc., so too, a person is misabel, a person is the shiva for a parent, for a sibling, for a child, all the halachas of relatives are patterned after Tumas Kohanim. So we had a machlekes rishonim between Tosfos and the Rambam as to how do we understand what that pattern is. What do you mean we derive the halachas of who one sits shiva from Tumas Kohanim? So the Rambam understood that that's a din min HaTorah, because the Rambam understood that the fact the Torah tells you to be metame for a relative, the fact that the Torah permits and requires a Kohen to go to the funeral and become tame for a relative, the Torah is telling us that the Torah wants the person to be misavil. And avelus means to take care of the mace. Avelus means to feel bad about the mace. Avelus means to not just to let the person die and just life goes on normal. So within that mitzvah of Tumas Kohenim, within the mitzvah of Tumas Krovim, the Heter HaTorah, the Chiyuv HaTorah, to become tummy for a relative, the Rambam says that's the din of avelus. That's the parsha of avelus is derived from the older din of avelus, or an extension of that principle. So according to the Rambam, hilchos avelus is fundamentally midaraisa. It's rooted in psukim midaraisa. According to Tosfos, there's no such thing. According to Tosfos, the fact that a kohen is metame, it's one din. The fact that a person takes off his shoes and doesn't shower, it's a different din. The two have nothing to do with each other. One's a din derais, and one's a din midrabanan. And according to Tosfos, when the Gemara derives who one observes shiva from the parish of Tumas Kohanim, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that avelus is part of Tumas Kohanim. All the Gemara means to say is that if you have to figure out midrabanan, who's considered to be a relative, how close is a person related? Maybe a person has observed shiva for a fifth cousin. So the answer is no. Just as min HaTorah, there's certain basic relatives, so to min derabbanan, when they instituted the dinim of shiva, when Moshe Rabbeinu instituted shiva shemavelus, when they instituted the dinim of shiva, so they patterned it after the psukim in Parshas Amor as to who's considered to be a relative. But they never meant to say that sitting shiva is any din deraisa whatsoever. So famous machlekes we spoke a little bit about, hopefully we'll talk about more as the sugyas go on. Machlekes and Rishon, the Taz and the Rambam, and other Rishon get into the mix, the Gaonim and the Rif and the Rosh. Everyone has what to say about this topic, whether Avelus is deraisa, whether Avelus is derabbanan. Even if you hold that Avelus is deraisa, that only means the first day of Avelus. After the first day, that's sure midrabbanan. But again, the Machlekes and Rishon, is there a concept of Avelus deraisa or derabbanan? So if you hold like Tosfos that the whole Avelus is midrabbanan, Hakol Mikol Kol, all of sitting shiva is only midrabbanan, so then I understand the sugya. So then I understand why there's no avelus for a little baby who died, because even though the odds are it probably is a viable child, it doesn't matter, but the whole thing's midrabbanan anyway. So hey, mama, hey, mama. So once the chachamim said that it's a suffix, the suffix darban lekul, the suffix avelus lekul, they can be make, the chachamim can say whatever they want, and uchas avelus. But according to the Ramban, according to the Rambam, the Rif, the Gaonim, those who showed him, who hold that avelus is lechumra, that avelus is a deraisa. How can a person be makil not to observe avelus? Because maybe there's a 5% chance, 10% chance, 20% chance that the baby isn't subject to avelus. How can you turn around and use a chashash nefel, a suffix that maybe the baby's not really alive, and exempt a person from an avelus that's an avelus deraisa? So the Ramban explains that the reason is as follows. The Ramban says that the source for Hilchas Avelus, if it's the Araisa, so it would only apply under circumstances when the person is very, very distressed. When a person loses a relative, and the person is so, so upset, the person is so down, the person is so bizarre, that's when the Chiyuv of Avelus kicks in. The person loses a child, 2 weeks, someone's, anyway, the person's mind said it, and some of the child wasn't viable in the first place. Even though it's true, it's not halachically necessarily true, it's not 100% sure that it was a nefel in the first place, but ain't other mitzara loft to such an extent that the degree of tzar is considered to be not enough to kick in chiv avelus deraisa. So even though the Ramban argues that the child may technically mitat Torah be alive, but it's lacking that feeling of adam dova libo alav, therefore the din of avelus wouldn't kick in under those circumstances. So even though it's true it's only a suffix, and it's true it may even be a rove that the baby really was alive, it doesn't matter, that type of a death is not enough to be mechayv an avelus on a level of deraisa. So whoever, no matter how you slice it, that's the din. The din is that a person doesn't observe avelus under these circumstances when the child dies within 30 days. Either according to Tosfos, because the whole avelus was only midrabanan anyway, so all the sveikas go lekula,